Hello and welcome to Shite Talk, an Irish history podcast. I realise now I should have let Kevin do the intro this week because my voice is off. I'm sick.
But even if you do the intro, you're still going to have to do the rest of the episode.
Yeah, but I think that people listen to, you know, when they say a podcast hug, Kevin?
No. Oh, I know when like Blind Boy says that.
Yeah, I assume other people do. I think that people mainly tune into this podcast to hear me say hello at the beginning, and then
for the most part,
probably skip to the end then so they can hear me say shafter.
Yeah.
And then they get the in-betweens just kind of rambling.
And then email in to be like, what does shafter mean?
Yeah, we got another one of those this week.
Yeah. It's probably one every 2 weeks.
Yeah, people are interested. It's also, it's heartening to know that people are listening until the very end of the podcast, even through the outro.
Yeah. I think a lot of them, because I remember that one guy got on.
Because we do know that they skip the intro.
And the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that one guy got on to us and was like, what does that mean? Because I'm listening to this with my kids and I don't know if they're picking up some weird Irish. Which is weird because he must have thought that we ended every episode with you just being like, bollocks.
Yeah.
Or something.
Which, I mean
yeah.
We do. Yeah. We just have to edit those parts out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because we are a kid-friendly podcast. Can you imagine?
Friendly towards kids.
Don't show this podcast to your kids. Or if you do, you listen to it in advance. And then you go edit out.
That's not so bad.
Yeah. Nah, there's only... The life advice is what I'd be worried about the children listening to.
Yeah. Because it's grand. You're kind of assuming that most of our listeners are in their 30s and already it's too late for them, in a way. The advice that we give out here, you don't need to listen to it. And you're much better off not listening to it.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's kind of, it's advice for people who've already been beaten down by life in general. If you've a chance.
It's the sort of advice where if it's already too late and you're like, Jesus, that could have worked, but it wouldn't have worked. But it's nice to think
it could have. Yeah, it's nice to try that. But then, but I like to think if there's children out there, they've got a real shot in life.
Yeah. You know, they could. And there probably are children out there.
Probably. I just don't know them. You can put that on the record. I don't know the children.
I've never met them. I don't plan to meet them.
What else do we have to talk about in the intro this week?
We've
covered that we don't know any children.
I think we've probably already talked about in last week's intro that we did the gig in Kilkenny last week.
Yeah.
That went well.
Great success.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike Rice, for coming out, being our guest.
Yeah, good man, Mike Rice. And
Big Tom. Not the musician,
no.
Just the man who came on stage to talk about how, I think in his defense, he wasn't saying to have sex with your first cousins.
Yeah.
He was just saying that out of all of the family tree, like second, third, fourth, and fifth, it's now been proven that the first cousin would be the safest. So if you do have to do fornicate there with your cousin, make it the closest one to you.
And now, yeah, he said...
He looked like a man who was the offspring of
second
cousins.
I couldn't, obviously I spent the rest of the weekend furiously Googling anything to verify his position. I don't think it makes any sense. What else? Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know what we should do? We should do the regular stuff that we always are meant to do and sometimes forget.
Yes.
We have a Patreon where we have other episodes
that
aren't on the free listener. For all of you free loading, I don't want to call you scum. We love all of you. But if you want to hear more of us, you can go to the Patreon and then follow Shite Talk. Give us about £5. And then you'll get a couple more episodes. You'll get that live gig in Kilkenny. You'll get the live gig in Sinead, Dublin, from Halloween.
Yeah.
And
you'll get all the bonus episodes we've done recently.
Yeah, the Pat Hickey IOC scandal. You'll do the Sean Quinn trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a heap there. And there's more to come as well. You want to get on this boat early.
You'll get it all. And then there's also discounts. If you sign up to that, you get discounts for... future live events, for ticket. Yeah, we still have a few t-shirts left to sell.
We do, but we don't. Well, I've been looking through that now in terms of the, you know, like our target demographic. We can try and find those stats online. And I've realized that it's very hard to quantify exactly who's listening, what age range, where, etc. But I will tell you this. Most of our listeners, medium-sized shirts.
Well, that's because you don't know, what does medium mean? You know, medium means different things in Europe,
America, Asia. You talk to ghosts, Asia.
I think that's probably it, yeah. So at most, you just go right down the middle, you pick medium. But all we have left of the original batch of t-shirts are large.
And small. And
small. So if you, I would say fit in one of those categories.
Small is quite small.
And large is quite large. Yes. They're well labeled. In fairness, I will say that to them.
The medium was a great in between.
It really was right bang in the middle, in fairness to it. But we sold all them.
Hey, Kevin, you know what else is actually going to be on the Patreon? The second half of this episode, because I put too many stories together. This is like a collection of Irish sea-based monster stories. It was too long as one episode, and we decided to put the second half, the story about the Dover coup. That's behind the paywall. It is a good time to sign up, because now we have actually a lot of content up there and more coming this month.
Yeah, that's probably it.
And so with all that out of the way, here's this week's story about oily fishes and stuff. You'll get it. You'll see. Or here, as it may be. Anyway, good luck. Talk to you next week.
Gather around now, you're in for a story. Old tales of lore, all in search of a glory. The history and mystery of mad slices and all. Discoveries and voyages, the rise and the fall.
Translating to great, and then any one of worm, monster, reptile, or fabulous beast, an ilefisht in Irish mythology and folklore is a big old sea serpent or slash monster, Kevin.
An ilefisht.
Yeah, OILLIPHEIST.
Okay.
So that's, I'm going to call it an oilfish.
Oily fish.
Oily fish.
A sardine.
Here we go. Now, they were believed to live in the depths of the lakes around Ireland, and there's a few stories about them, if you care to hear.
I just got sidetracked there about that. Yeah, Stuart Lee's bit about Tom O'Connor working on the cruise lines and his mother being extremely impressed by Tom O'Connor's quick wit when he asked someone in the audience, "Where do you work?" And the guy said, "In oil." He said, "Oh, in oil? You a sardine?"
"I was just like that. Just like that."
"You a sardine?"
It is a good...
It's a good
bit. That's pretty quick.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, and it's a great bit. The bit's better than that joke.
Yeah, that bit goes on for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, but most of his do, and that's why I love him.
Yes.
Yeah. So you pause this podcast and go listen to Stuart Lee.
So this is a different oily fish.
It's a different oily fish. Now, Carinach, or Cowl, and I will pronounce Cowl from now on because it's easier.
Okay.
That was the Big Daddy oily fish.
Right.
Or should I say Big Mama oily fish.
For she is the mother of oily fish.
Yes, because Martin Lawrence played them in a movie.
Okay.
St. Patrick banished her up to Loch Derg in Donegal.
Right. Yes, not the other Loch Derg in Tipperary, Limerick, and the rest.
Well, I have it wrote down here as Donegal, so let's hope I'm right. I'm going to...
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, but there are other stories of St. Patrick going further down to the one in Tipperary.
Okay.
But I believe the way I'm telling this, it's the one up in Donegal. He's banished up there.
Right, right.
Because the other story says St. Patrick is in Ireland. He goes, "Oh, there's this fish acting the gurrier. I'm going to head down there to Tipperary or wherever, sort, you know, fix his wagon."
Yeah.
And at that time, the oily fish hears that and goes, "Oh, Jesus, not St. Patrick." So he decides to burst out of the water and then makes his way through the land on its way to escape, creating what we now call today the River Shannon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So this fish got so scared of St. Patrick, it carved up the biggest river in Ireland.
Yes.
In an attempt to get away from this holy man.
Well, he does hate reptiles or like scaly things. We all know that.
Yeah, that is true.
Hate snakes.
Very anti-Semitic.
Yeah, the lizards. He's the original David Icke.
Yeah.
Now, the Loch Derg St. Patrick thing might come about from a story where Fionn McCool, the kind of Irish John Wick, if you will.
Yeah, I think I will, yeah.
You'll allow that?
I will, yes.
Okay, thanks. He was once asked to slay a hag in Loch Derg, which, different connotation today.
Of course.
Kevin over here slayed many a hag.
Yeah,
Yeah.
We've all been on stag parties to Lough Derg.
And Matt the Miller's Kilkenny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now tell me this. What's a hag?
I'm going to guess, much like everything back in those days, it's just an old banshee woman.
Yeah, a stupid bitch of a woman.
An old hag of a woman.
Yeah, that the, basically, and I think she has like mythical powers. It's kind of like an Irish witch.
Yes.
But before witches.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not, was Alice Kittler, was she the first?
She was the first one burned for it. Well, yes, her, yeah. Yes.
The whole, there's an episode about that we've done earlier. Go back and have a listen.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's asked to go and kill this hag. More assassinations in Irish myths. I'd like that. Hence the John Wick comparison. See, I laid that early. I'm glad you went along with it without any proof of concept.
Yeah.
He hits her with an arrow from a great distance because he's as good of a shot as he is a giant coward.
He got her right in the back, right in the sweet spot, just between the spine.
Well, hopefully she doesn't wake up and move as the arrow's in the air.
She was on her deathbed and he finished the job.
A real hero.
Yeah.
But a bad decision, as this made it tough to find the body because it's from such a great distance.
Okay.
Yeah. But then he goes off and searches for her, and he does eventually find her. But he's told, whatever you do, don't break her leg.
Right. Yeah. Before, this is after the murder.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Don't be messing with the body.
Yeah, you can shoot a woman from 600 kilometers, but don't go around messing with her legs.
Don't be tampering with the crime scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think you are, McNulty? Keep that to yourself. Now, it's the thigh bone, to be specific.
Oh, is it, what, like a wishbone?
No, I'd say if he had one wish, he would say he wouldn't have done that at all.
So he's explicitly told not to do this. I'm going to guess the first thing he does is just go down and snap the ties.
Well, what else would you do? It's like a big red button.
Yeah.
What, like, yeah.
Now, don't you break those tie bones, McCool.
Yeah, it's like, you're not the boss of me. You're not my real local townsperson.
So he just goes in,
well,
stomping and snapping.
So no, there's a fella called Conan. Or Conan, maybe. I don't know.
Uh-huh. A lanky, red-headed fellow who rose through the ranks of American scriptwriting to host his own late-night television show.
He's too tall to be Irish.
He is, yeah.
For my neck of the woods, anyway. People in Dublin are better nourished.
I was watching a clip of him recently, and I was thinking about...
me? Were you thinking about how
Yeah, you're very similar to him, yeah.
Thanks.
You're both writers for The Simpsons. You're both tall Irish men. But I remember seeing a gif online of him in Belfast, and he was sitting outside the Empire Comedy Club in Belfast, and, you know, it's a silent gif where you just see people driving around and, like, giving him the thumbs up, and it's, like, very wholesome, and it was on the front page of Reddit or something. And then I saw the video that it came from afterwards, and it was just, like, four Belfast lads winding in the window and being like, "Yup, fucking Conan, how are you getting on, hey? Up the fucking Conan, yeah." And it was just... That was much more authentic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Anytime he's come to Ireland, he's done like videos like the Guinness Storehouse video or the just him trying to find his roots in Ireland.
Yeah.
Always like segments for the show. Just great. I love Conan. I think he's the best. It's the best late night talk show host that ever has been.
I did see him going a big rant about Tato crisps and like shouting Tato and throwing crisps at a woman for about 10 minutes.
Well, there you go. Wait, me or him?
Yeah, both of you. He does remind me of you a bit, but this is a different Conan.
Yes, yes, and also not the barbarian, although from his actions, not too far off. Now, the reason why he was told, actually, I shouldn't spoil it, so he breaks the leg. Let's say McCool there was going, I wish I hadn't fucking said that to him now.
Yeah.
Because it turns out the reason you're not meant to do that, which I reckon if someone explained this to him beforehand, now maybe they did, and he...
Maybe they... And there's
he
no...
But he didn't believe it existed.
No, or afterwards he came back saying, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, he thought
I fucking told you five times.
He thought it was a ploy from the government to gain more control over us.
Explicitly laid out what was going to happen if he did it, and then he went and did it anyway. I was like, the literature just wasn't there.
Yeah, I didn't.
I did my own research, and I thought I could break her leg.
It's ridiculous that we don't have enough ICUs in this country to deal with giant sea demons sprouting from. Well, first it's a worm. It's a hairy worm, the worst kind of worm.
Yes,
it's a hairy worm that quickly it slinks its way out there outside.
So it's a caterpillar
outside of her leg. Something close to it. Yeah. But what do caterpillars turn into?
Butterflies.
Is that
or moths?
giant sea demons.
Okay, yes.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
Oily fishes.
Uh-huh.
Out slides a sea monster. Lo and behold, what's it called, Kevin? Cowl, or Carnach, as I've put in the script and realised I can't pronounce. So, Cowl.
Cowl.
Yeah. She sets about eating all the local cattle. Some say all the cattle in Ulster.
Right. All six of them.
Which is, I'd say at the time it's, well, you know, it's probably a good few.
Yeah, it's about then they just measured their wealth by cattle. That was all they had to trade off.
Yeah. And when you say measure, you mean we put them all in a line and see which one went further.
Oh, yeah.
And that's measuring.
If you have enough cows in your field, that means you now rule the county that you're in.
But now Conan is tired of getting fucking pelters from all the locals saying it's his fault. You know, because...
Because he released this demon on them.
Yes, it is his fault.
Uh-huh.
So he tries to make amends. He jumps into the monster's mouth with a sword and kills it from the inside out.
That sounds like he tried to commit suicide.
Well, and he made the most of it when he was...
He decided to commit suicide and immediately regretted it, slashed his way out.
He's like an Irish...
And got lucky.
But an Irish suicide bomber. It's just...
Yes.
Yes. Or a kamikaze.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a member of the IRA circa 1989.
A kamikaze. Now, what does Loch Derg mean, Kev?
Red Lake?
Blood Lake.
Blood Lake.
Yeah, well, Red Lake, but I think that's the... It's lost in translation.
Yeah.
That's named after the monster lost its life there and spilled its blood.
Okay.
That's the... how the story goes, at least. There's a few other stories of people falling into an oily fish's mouth or stomach. A drunken piper by the name of O'Rourke.
Well, no, those sound like stories that the fish told. He fell into my mouth, officer. What am I to do? I'm just here stretching and yawning. Some fool wants to go for a walk off the pier. That's not my fault.
A man can't hang out around the edge of a pier with his mouth open?
Yeah.
You're going to blame me for that?
I thought this was a free country.
Drunken piper by the name of O'Rourke gets eaten.
Is there any other kind of piper? I mean...
The pied.
That's true. Yeah. Fair enough. That's
off the top of my head.
There you go.
Rowdy Roddy.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there's the Pied Piper of Crumlin, which is that's an inside baseball joke, right there. Even you don't get that one.
No.
No.
He sounds like a pedophile.
Yeah, that's if there's any fans of Look It Up, the short-lived or just very bad pilot of a comedy sitcom I made in college with some friends, you'll get that reference.
Yeah, that's extremely niche.
Yes. Well, that's... Call me Frederick.
Because I'm Nietzsche.
Because I don't know what I'm talking about. But whether he has a genius plan or he's just too drunk to be aware of the whole thing, he gets eaten. Maybe he might not be aware. He might not care. Because why? Mm-hmm.
He's a drunk piper.
Yeah. So he keeps playing his tunes.
Okay.
And the monster, not a big fan of the session.
Well... Yeah, but I wouldn't want someone like playing music inside of me either. Or it's just like getting a song stuck in your head.
Yeah, do you ever have a song stuck inside your stomach?
Yeah, it's even worse.
Way worse.
You'd be loving for it in your head at that point.
Oh, stop. But then...
That's what you'd be saying.
But he gets so annoyed that he spits him back out again.
Fair enough. That seems like a reasonable enough recourse.
Or the story that a drunken man would recount.
I was playing my pipe and I walked into a giant snake's mouth and he didn't like my tunes. He spat me right out, he did. And that's why I'm covered in spit, Your Honor.
Why are you so wet, O'Rourke? I tell you what now, I didn't fall in the river on the way home. It was fucking oily fishes are back again.
Yeah.
Haven't heard of them for a while.
They show up whenever a drunk man needs a good alibi.
Now, he's not the only person, because there's a few accounts of people falling into the mouths of these oily fish. There's a story of Shinon, who was the granddaughter of a Tuatha De Danann sea god, Manann Mac Léir.
Okay.
Who pissed off the salmon of knowledge.
You don't want to do that.
No.
That boy does not forget.
No, he doesn't. No. And even giving out to you. Yeah. Imagine that lecture.
Because at that time... The majority of his knowledge was just like people who pissed him off.
Well, yeah, because he wouldn't be chatting to too many others, I suppose.
It was the year 400 or 500. Very little happened at that point.
I mean, he might have good knowledge of the time, though. Probably more of local geography or definitely the rivers.
Certainly the rivers.
You'd hope the rivers. You'd hope he'd be a well-travelled. He's not this know-it-all, staying the same, the one corner of the river. He's like, I haven't been to Thailand, but I've read about it online. It's like,
that's it, exactly.
What's online? It's the thing I get dragged in from the mouth every so often. But when I start talking to the fishers, they throw me back in or else they're fucking listening to me. Now, why do you think he was a bit perturbed by young Shannon?
I imagine she caught him.
She caught him with something, but on a line. Different kind of catching.
Oh, caught the heart of him.
Oh, pelting stones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is, firstly, he should be in the water, so they shouldn't affect him.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be out on land, or shouldn't be above the water, or else he's asking for it.
That's fairly, I mean, I'm not going to tell a fish where he can and can't go.
Yeah, but the fish now, knowing the ways of the river, and I like to think he's a travelled man, has some friends. Friends in high places, low places, wet places. Calls in for backup. Who does he call?
Garth Brooks.
Big oily fish.
Big oily fish.
Now, this oily fish eats her.
Okay. Bit of an overreaction.
Yeah. Now, how does she escape?
I'm going to guess either she sings a song or stabs it from the inside. Because it does it not chew? It just swallows people.
She dies.
Oh, she dies.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of the men have escaped.
Yes.
And the one story we have of a woman going in there. I don't know why. Can't put two and two together. But there's an old Irish saying that goes, people who don't want to live inside mythological sea demons shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah, that is one that's been lost to time.
Yeah. But that's, I'd never heard of an oily fish. And that's been lost in time. We've lost a lot of these, like, fairy, like the Tuatha De Danann people, the mythological beasts and creatures.
Yeah.
Fantastic Irish beasts and where to find them.
We're too obsessed with oil and we've forgotten about the oily fish.
Now, have you heard of Mucky?
Some sort of pig god.
Oh, Jesus, you twist. It's a lot sadder than that.
Mucky.
It's not an ancient thing.
Right.
This is more of a 2003 kind of a thing.
Okay, right.
Mucky is a mysterious creature which is believed, by idiots, to inhabit the lakes of Killarney.
Okay, so like, what's that, Talk Lake?
Muckross Lake.
Yes, yeah.
And then Lean.
Okay.
And then Upper Lake.
Upper Lake,
I think Lean's in between the two.
Maybe, yeah.
In that like Orion's belt of lakes.
Because there's Muckross House there, and then Talk Waterfall. But maybe that's in the Upper Lake, I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Nah. A fine place for a beach, though.
Oh, fair. Now, I'll tell you this. Where do you reckon the name Mucky came from?
Muckross.
And?
And the mud around the lake.
Nessie.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. That's Loch Ness, Loch Muckrow, Mucky, Nessie.
Yeah, it's a portmanteau of Muckross and Nessie.
Okay, so this is some sort of Nessie-type creature that lives in Killarney.
I'd say like a cousin, if you would.
Or, I would.
Yeah. Or maybe just Nessie on their holidays. But it was discovered in modern times back in 2003 when there was some sonar scans being done in the area to figure out the fish population of these lakes and any other stuff that one of my best friends is what's the word? Sea doctor.
A marine biologist.
Yeah, I know what I said. I used to call him that, and then he got a PhD in it, and I was like, all right, to make myself feel better, I'm going to start taking the piss out of him.
Yeah, of course. He's a sea doctor.
I should have asked him about this, but I didn't. It's too late. And he's in Sweden now, and... Or he's like, yeah, I think he's on a flight home now, so he's, I definitely can't call him.
Yeah.
Much to their surprise, their scans recorded a big, solid object. A rock?
Perhaps.
Or,
but perhaps not.
Or perhaps our very own Nessie.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, given the fact that there is at least...
Was this around about the time that Fungi the Dolphin started making big money for their neighbours down in Dingle?
No. I don't know what aspersions you're trying to cast, Kevin Lardy.
Maybe, you know, they were seeing how their little cousins down the road were raking money in from a dolphin.
A lot of American tourists.
For anyone who isn't fortunate enough to know, there was a dolphin around Dingle for about 46 years that basically ran the tourist industry there until last year when it disappeared. Now, maybe they saw all that money coming in and thought, why not Killarney? Why can't we get a piece of the pie?
Now, I don't want to be the one to say it, but...
I think I just...
That...
Might have.
That... Oh, no, I'll go a different way then. I'll say, fungi never existed, or if it did, it died. died a long, long time ago. And basically, because we were talking about that recently enough.
Yeah.
Because I remember going down there in holidays when I was younger, and you go out on the boat, and just, it's weird. Every single boat trip, you get to see, and some of they know exactly where to go. Mm-hmm. And it's an ocean.
Well, it is.
Dolphin could be anywhere. There's no sonar on these boats.
No.
But every single time you go, you'd manage to see fungi. They always tell you in advance, hey, you know, look, just so you know, you might not see fungi.
Nah.
But you always manage to see his fin.
Wouldn't you know if a
never,
flash
never
of
the
fin,
full thing. He never actually jumps out of the water anymore. He's getting old. So
he's getting, yeah.
Doesn't have that in him.
And now, a while ago, I saw a very realistic animatronic dolphin in a swimming pool.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing. I just thought it was an interesting
note. It's a side note.
Nah.
Hey, sidebar.
Nah.
Robotic dolphins exist.
And also, it seems like the people in Dingle probably thought, I'm sure there was a meeting at some point and they're like, right, it's a year into the pandemic. Everybody's distracted. There's bigger fish to fry, no pun intended. I think this is the time we finally cut our losses and just disappear the robot. And the entire country came to a standstill.
Yeah.
Regardless.
You'd think that they would have said there was, like, Fungi had a kid.
Fungi Jr.
Yeah, like they brought, hey, we brought out, because the old thing was that it was mentally...
Yeah, I heard it described as an autistic dolphin.
Yes.
Which I, like, by the captain of a boat.
Of the actual boat.
Of the actual boat that I was going, some say... Some say the fungi is a bit of an autistic dolphin because they're quite social creatures. But fungi had been there by himself for what was it, like 40 years,
something like that. Yeah, too long.
Too long for any one dolphin to be by itself.
But no account of how it got there or
where it's gone.
But it would have been so easy to say we brought in another dolphin, some sexy young female dolphin.
Yeah, fungi too.
Yeah, you think that would have happened? They would be like, now we can keep this going for years.
Yeah, generational thing. Because even half of, like, downtown Dingle's going to have to be renamed now.
Oh, all of the, like, the cafes, the bars,
mm-hmm.
all of those t-shirts that haven't been sold, much like Garth Brooks t-shirts. Yeah.
But Killarney saw all this when it was going strong and they thought, why not Muckrose?
Well, I'll say this now, that given the fact that there's at least one scientific report of something being in the lake,
okay.
This technically makes it a more credible story than Nessie.
Yeah, but you say a scientific report of something being in the lake, just that there was a shape on sonar.
Yes, but that's never actually happened. Like, they've tried that in the Loch Ness and never found anything.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But the sonar scans say the size of the thing is in line with how big people say Nessie is or looks.
So yeah,
27 feet long by all accounts, or probably just one.
Where did you get this now? Because I'm imagining like it's some. I'm just imagining some scientist in a white science coat standing reluctantly in front of the lake, and like, now, Dr. Toboggan, would you say that this ship is roughly the size of what people assume Loch Ness is? Well, just answer the question, Doctor. I couldn't possibly just answer the question, Doctor. Yes, I suppose it would roughly be in line. Thank you very much, Doctor. You've heard it here first. Confirmed sightings of Mucky.
Now, I would hope you would have said praying mantis toboggan.
No, this is...
Because that's too good.
Yeah, this is a local Killarney marine biologist, sonar specialist.
There are eyewitness accounts.
Of course there are.
Yes. Which critics say were people... were.
What critics?
There are a few lads.
How cynical do you need to be?
Lads from Dingle trying to say, hold on, yeah. You think you're going to take some away our tourism industry?
Yeah.
Well, we've got the Wild Atlantic Way on board here. They've already made the posters. There's billboards. There's radio ads. Not taking fungi's fucking his dollar.
You can't stop this train.
But yeah, the eyewitness, there are eyewitness accounts, which critics say were people getting it confused with seals, because seemingly a shoal or school of seals, well, they jump in and out of the water, up and down, which fungi never did. And they dive back in again, and that in unison, from a distance, with your eyes closed and your head kind of slanted.
And a head full of Killarney pints.
A load of pints, yeah. A load of Tom Crean.
Yes.
Creamy Tom
Crean. Creamy Tom Creans.
Yeah. It's they'd say that looks like a monster.
Well, now, actually, speaking of Tom Crean, is it possible that somewhere down in the... I've seen The Thing, John Carpenter, mm-hmm. you know, somewhere down there in the frozen tundras. Maybe Tom Coon came across something not quite human. Maybe it wasn't Tom Coon that came back at all to his old town of Killarney. Maybe something came back in his pocket, slipped into the lake unbeknownst to him someday.
Well, I'll tell you this.
And here's Mucky.
Fuck the rest of this story. Let's just let's just have a little back and forth. Let's just improv a little on that.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, actually, no, I do have another 70% of this story to get through, so I probably should keep going.
I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah. Now, scientists say that such a large sonar return on these tests would usually indicate there's been something large dumped in the water, like a car or tractor. But Muckross has been a protected site for over 200 years.
So that's not even a question.
Couldn't happen. Not a possibility.
Yeah, it could be that someone's just been fly-tipping rubbish in there for the last 20 years. But luckily, there's a sign up the front saying no fly-tipping, so we'll just rule that out.
Well, I couldn't see anyone local doing that. Now, am I going to rule out that some of these pesky lads from Dingle came down here?
It's possible.
Yeah, trying to get rid of some, you know, animatronic dolphins from times gone by. I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that there is a sign that says that there.
Yeah, the sign rules it out.
Yeah. So in October 2004, a TV crew from Japan went there for a week to see if they could either get to the bottom of the Mucky deal, or given the fact it's only 70 meters deep, that shouldn't be that hard to get to the bottom.
No.
It's not this like giant abyss. The sonar scans probably could have, if it is just an inanimate object, it's lying there. That scan.
If it's not moving,
yeah,
you can find it out pretty
quickly.
It.
Yeah. College kids surely go diving down there.
Why did it take the Japanese to come over and go looking for it?
They love giant, scaly things.
That is true.
They were probably looking for a sequel for like a new Godzilla film.
Yeah.
Godzilla versus Mucky. The greatest fight this country's ever seen since A Quiet Man.
I'd watch it. Yeah. I'd watch it twice.
That would be Ireland's first ever disaster movie, right? We've never... The Young Offenders, but...
Ooh.
That's... Coming at you with the 1-2.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something there before you got to it, but... Possibly. Godzilla versus Mucky, the killer from Killarney versus God from Godzilla.
I did see down in Kilkenny the other day when I was walking around the day or two after the gig, it's obviously a very outdated t-shirt that they just haven't sold yet, but in one of the...
Like a South Park t-shirt?
Yes. Yeah. Did you see that as well?
No, but you get me, very dated and Kilkenny, you know.
Yeah, it was. It was, you won't kill Kenny.
You can kill Kenny, but you can't kill the crack.
But then they didn't even say, you bastards. Which was also, when I was younger, we weren't allowed. I don't know if we even had the channels, but we definitely wouldn't have been allowed to watch it anyway. Ma was very against watching South Park. They're like, understandable. But then in hindsight, keeping that away from me has since made me a stand-up comedian. So that's... If otherwise, I'd just be like a successful businessman with a dark taste in humor. And now I'm an unsuccessful comedian with an even worse taste in humor.
All because you couldn't watch South Park.
Yeah, but that's how we'd go to our cousin's house, and every so often that would come on. And we only knew it as, oh my God, you kill Kenny, you bastard.
Yeah.
I was probably 10 or 11 at least before I found out pre-internet.
The show was.
So I'm going to say like it might have been like 12 or 13, but yeah. Then I found out years like my dad used to sell T-shirts of South Park, and he used to sell like plush toys of those characters.
To where?
Never you mind.
He was selling the original Kilkenny T-shirts.
No, but yeah, I've realized that's not fair. I've put that together now in hindsight. That's not on.
That's no.
I thought at this point you'd have asked me, Jason, have you found this TV show?
No, I assume you had. Well, did it make it to air? Because if the
can't find it,
can't find it. Yeah, but if they didn't find Mucky, or if say the Wild Atlantic Way came down and broke their television, their television equipment, I assume it didn't make it to air.
Well, there is that too, or maybe there was never a Japanese crew, and that's just part of. Their whole
part of the lore.
Spiel. Yeah, they're like, oh no, I'm telling you, it's serious. Japanese camera crew came here.
Boys in Japan here asking about it. Which boys? Boys.
Oh, you'll never be able to find it. We don't have access to... It's 2004. How are you going to find that? Well, it's 2021 now. Could we find that? Yeah. Not a trace of it online.
No.
Or also they just found nothing and were just like, let's just call just it call after it, a week. Yeah. Let's just go home. Let's just go to Scotland and do another Nessie documentary. But Killarney's National Park Ranger, or manager, I should say, Paddy O'Sullivan, has gone on record saying, "I don't think anything of that size could have been living in the lake for this long without someone having seen it or traces of it having been detected."
Very reasonable from Paddy O'Sullivan there.
Yeah.
How much is he being paid?
At which point he was taken out on a boat, had his feet cemented into blocks and dumped into the middle of Lake Lean.
You don't think he would be found? Paddy, how about you go looking for it? Here's a couple of cement boots. Start walking.
Paddy did say that whatever they found, if they did find anything. Firstly, he said that, look, this isn't a quote. This is a...
This is off the record?
Yeah. I think he basically said, I saw a video of this on like RT News years ago, but I didn't write the quote down.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the journalism in me. He basically said that, well, sure, look, if it's been there that long and there's been no accounts of it attacking or killing anyone, it's of no danger to anyone if it does exist. So he's going, it's definitely not true, but if it is true, she's grand.
Sure, what harm?
Yeah, and said that whatever they would find, or if they did find anything, it would be given full protection because it's in the 200-year...
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
no course.
Litter in this is a Killarney kind of national park. So if there is anything down there, well, fucking leave it alone.
It belongs to the Muckrows and you won't be touching it.
Yeah, but that's all we have for Mucky.
That's great. I've been down there a few times. I never saw any signs for Mucky.
That's the dingle.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dastardly dingleites.
Though, yeah, surely someone would have went down with a scuba suit and took a look at it.
You would think. But for every, if maybe you get close enough, or it could be quick.
It could hide.
It could hide. It mm-hmm. could not be true at all. it's the next story we have is of the Carlingford Loch Monster. If there's listeners out there who are wondering, when's he going to get to all the talk about Carlingford Loch's eel horse or horse eel creature? Well, it's now, but also never, because it's stupid and I don't want to tarnish the reputation or belief in these other very serious monsters, like Mucky and such.
You don't want to put them on the same list.
Yeah, that's, you got to get your own pedestal. There's the podium only has space for three, and I'm not having the Carlingford Loch Monster because it's also a sea horse.
Yeah,
it's an eel horse, like the body of an eel and the head of a horse. It's like a horse mermaid. Instead of an attractive lady on the top,
right?
It's a horse.
It's a horse.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Which is stupid.
Nah, and the body of an eel.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe the head, the torso possibly of a horse, and then just the fin and tails and everything of the eel.
Now, yeah, I've been around Carlingford a lot and I've seen a few people walking around like that on a night out. Big for stags and hens. By about 1 a.m. there's more horse looking eel people in there than humans, I'd say.
Do you mean fancy dress for these horse stags?
I do not.
That makes more sense to me again. Ishge, or water horse, as it'll be called online. USIGE for our non-Irish...
Okay. Ishge Capel.
Yeah, no.
No, just no. Ishge.
Just each Ishge.
Yeah.
Like, spelled like each.
Yeah. I might be jumping ahead, but like, Carlingford Loch is a notorious smuggling lake. Forgetting, because it's a fairly short point between...
And you're going to start saying that horses have big nostrils and cocaine goes up them.
Maybe a couple of likely lads wanted to scare. It's like a Scooby-Doo episode where they wanted to scare off the locals. Don't go down to the docks between 7 and 8 o'clock tonight because the horse eel's around and I've got a shipment of guns coming in from the north.
Oh no, it's not a real water horse. And then you pull off the head and it's just an actual mermaid. I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for you pesky kids.
You pull off the horse mask and it's a balaclava underneath.
Yeah, there's also sightings of loads of stuff around the country that we won't be getting into in this episode because we've already been running pretty long and I don't want to talk about the ones over in Galway and places like that. You never mind them. You can Google them yourself if you want. No. They're not as cool as the stuff I'm talking about. I also didn't want to spend too much time on any of that because we've got the Clare Monster of 1871.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this story was published in the Limerick Chronicle back in September of 1871 and by a heap of other places.
The people in Clare were too scared to touch it.
Probably.
Had to go for outside journalism to blow the lid on it.
Or I would imagine at the time that there wasn't, every county didn't have its own paper of repute.
Or maybe there was no journalists left alive to tell the story.
Or just none that wanted to live in Clare.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I'm going to move to the big smoke of Limerick. It was published now by a lot of other places as well, including an illustrated publication called The Day's Doings.
The Day's Doings?
Yeah.
They should bring it back.
If they did, I'd call it The Goings On That Do Be Going On.
The Gonons That Are Going On.
Yeah.
An illustrated publication. That must have blown people's minds in 1871 Ireland.
Yeah, now there was written words there as well, but I imagine one illustrator who was just changing the game.
Yes.
Now, spotted off the coast of the village of Kilkee, the monster resurfaced in 2015 in London.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn. So in 1871 it was seen off the coast of Kilkee.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Kilkee a few times. That's where that statue of Richard Harris playing badminton is.
Yes.
And the mural of Che Guevara.
Yes.
Yeah, fine. We should go down.
Even though he's more of a Cork man, I believe.
Well, there's enough stuff. We should definitely go down to Kilkee at some point to possibly spot this Clare monster.
Well, this could be a whole Shite Talk documentary on all these sea monsters.
So how do they know it's the same one that's in London?
Oh, well, I've set that up as a storytelling device.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. A large and frightening sea monster was spotted off the coast of Kilkee by many, all of whom had their nerves considerably upset by the dreadful appearance of this extraordinary creature. It made its way into the Limerick Chronicle. And it
all right, the story, not the monster.
Yeah,
I demand to see an editor.
What are you saying about me?
Don't blow me off. I've been in here 5 times already. You keep saying you'll call me back and you won't, okay? I'm here. I demand to see an editor.
You're infringing on my personal rights as an Irish citizen.
You've done a hatchet job on me in the paper. I demand recompense. And what's this large business? Okay, I've been watching my figure for the last 170 years. Loch Ness and Mucky are setting unreasonable weight expectations for young monsters like myself. I'm out there being real. And you and the people of Clare can't handle it.
Like I said, it's in the Limerick Chronicle at this stage. And it wouldn't be long until Fleet Street caught wind of the story. Soon thereafter, appearing in the London Times, amongst others. Hence the, remember I dropped that London thing earlier and you're like, oh, it's traveling. No, just the story.
The story.
Yeah. It's myth. It's whatever other bigger words make more sense.
The tale.
All of those. Yeah. So seemingly most of the accounts, or the best accounts and the ones I'll be going through, of the monster using the Times were from The Day's Doing. So The Day's Doings.
The Day's Doings.
Can't miss the S. The Times labelled, the Times noted the surfacing of the fabled sea serpent in Ireland, which is fair because it had been seen before.
Ah.
Yeah, let me cast your mind back to 1950.
So wait, no, it, or in 19, wait, when was it seen before? It's the first time it was 1870. And then, what, in 2015 they were like, oh, it's been seen before.
Well, maybe I meant to say 1850.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I made a mistake there. I'm glad you caught me on that. And I was going to try and double down and be like, wait, hold on. You're going to start. Times are your problem with this story? That you don't think it can be like a sea traveling or time traveling sea monster? Well, a sea traveling sea monster it was.
But this is the perfect time for like everyone is running around panicking in 1870. And then, you know, the phone's hopping off the hook. And they're like, we've got this call coming in on this device that hasn't been invented yet. Yeah. Put that thing away.
It's your cousin, Nessie. You want to listen to this sea chanty?
Hey, Nessie, it's me, your cousin.
Oh, Roshikava, how wall ya? Oh, Roshikava, how wall ya?
Get a load of this. That's the perfect. Everyone's freaking out in like 1870s Limerick. And then there's just one old battered seaman with 2 eye patches and 3 peg legs. It's like, I've seen it all before.
As I was saying earlier, now cast your mind back to 1850. I did it again. To 1850. It had been previously seen off the coast of Kilkee, this time, quote, sunning itself.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. This is a, it's a Daily Mail type article.
Where it's trying to...
Who does this sea monster think it is over here? You think you don't have enough money to go sunning yourself? You're working. You're working every day.
Illegal lout. Yeah. Suns itself off coast of Irish seaport.
Monster jet sets to the Emerald Isle.
Yeah.
The sizzling southwest after the jackpot winnings in the recent Euro shillings.
Tax dodging.
The coin bonanza has already seen Ireland's answer to Free Willy drop a chunk of change on cars and houses for its entire family. Here, if you're wondering, here's what £7, 2 shillings and a tuppence can buy you in today. This story came to light again in 2015 when Mary Evans Picture Library was having their Victorian era newspaper articles digitized. And yes, there is a picture. We'll be sharing that in the Instagram.
Oh, excellent.
I wish I showed that to you now or had a possibility, a way to do that. We're the opposite sides of the room. But the story said that a party of strangers staying at Kilkee, composed of several ladies and some gentlemen, one of whom is a well-known clergyman in the north of Ireland, were out for a walk at a place called the Diamond Rock.
I know the Diamond.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've never been. You can show me the ways of Kilkee.
I will, yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, their attention was arrested by the appearance of an extraordinary monster who rose from the surface of the water about 70 yards from the place where they were standing. It had an enormous head, shaped somewhat like a horse, while behind the head and on the neck was a huge mane of seaweed-looking water. The eyes were large and glaring, and by the appearance of the water behind, a vast body seemed to be beneath the waves. Now, this article also says it's the first time it was ever seen.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
But, yeah, so it just might be a whale.
But that disputes the earlier sunning itself.
Of course.
One.
Yeah.
And rightly or wrongly so, but that's the version I'm going with.
Yeah.
Now, if you're wondering why... You're like, well, Jason, you're saying this is a horse sea serpent story. And yes. You just said we're not covering that earlier on. Well, I came to that decision before I'd got to the end of this story. And having already done the research and the legwork, or the tail work, fin work,
yeah,
I'm not going to go back on it.
Of course, you've already got it written up.
Yeah. It's good. It's better than, there's more to this than Carlingford anyway.
Yes.
But that story, like I said earlier, a lot of the, I don't think that the day's doings was as a legitimate source of journalistic integrity.
Yeah.
As the Limerick Chronicle.
At the time.
Yeah, or even today. I don't know if the day's doings folded or not since.
I really hope the day's doings is still going.
Yeah, it's one man.
But it sounds like they're just described, like it could just be...
It came up, like that story came like a month later. So okay. I imagine their idea was, no, we go down now, lads are going to give us, I want to say the truth, but the actual account. And if we leave it a month...
Let the tale get taller.
There's no TV. Well, the tail's already pretty big. They're saying it's giant.
Yeah.
But I think if you just let enough people talk for a month about television or the wireless maybe at the time, they're just going to keep telling yarns, spinning them. And then all of a sudden...
You've got yourself a story.
I don't know if it's true or not, but it's what the locals said. So if you're going to cast aspersions, cast your net over these pricks. Because that is also the story that made it into the... They used the day's doings to get into the Times. Over England, not the Chronicle, because you're like,
no,
there's more juice to this.
Yeah, you run with the better story.
I will say before our final story that that all of that account, the stuff from the Mary Evans library thing, that was found by Mary Evans' husband, a man called Hillary, who the BBC, reputable source, right? They say they refer to him as a keen collector of UFOs and other paranormal phenomena, including sea monsters.
Well, I mean, who else is going to get a photo of this thing?
That's the man I would trust.
That's the man you would trust.
He's got previous. Other people would look at this thing and go, what's this? An Englishman coming to the shore? No, this is a sea monster.
It makes more sense that a man who spent his life searching for these things would be the very man to stumble across one.
Well, I would say so.
Mm.
I believe that, anyway.
Yes.
And that seems like a natural enough time to end this section of the episode. This is that awkward time where I have to jump in after editing it and going,
that episode's the guts of 50 minutes. We have another one that's going to be not far off the same, but that one's going to be behind the paywall over on Patreon. You can subscribe there and you can get our live Halloween episode. You can get our live Kilkenny gig that we just did with Mike Rice. You can get the Sean Quinn trilogy and the IOC ticketing scandal. And then more to come next month as well. Although if you sign up, I do believe it's like they charge you on the first of the month. So don't sign up on like the 29th or 30th because then you'll just get charged twice. And we don't want that. But yeah, the other stories about the Dover coup, if you know anything about that, it's a fun story. And if you enjoyed all of these fish tales that we've been doing on this episode, sure, just go throw a wee fiver our way and get a couple of other episodes along for your hassle. And if not, and you don't want to do that, well then we'll chat to you next week with a different story for free anyway. So yeah, good luck. Shafter.